there any better day in the Christian faith than Easter? You know, when I think of it, our hearts naturally go towards Christmas when we think of a Christian holiday. And we think of that because it's so big and it's something we get excited about, and decorations and all these types of things. And I remember for me growing up, Easter was a lot of Easter eggs. It was the hunt. It was the chocolate. It was those things. And I still like those things. But that's what it was about, and that's what I got excited about. But I've noticed a change in my heart. And not just since when I was a child, but even as an adult, as I've learned and as I've grown and I've come to know the beauty of Jesus' death and resurrection for us, and that because of him, we will live. As I've come to know that more, Easter becomes beautiful. In fact, there really are no words to express it. You get all the words like beautiful and wonderful and just amazing and all those things, and you pack them all together and it still comes up short. Easter is the day. And because of Easter, we have an eternity ahead of us in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? It's not because of Christmas. It's because of Easter. It's because Christ died and he rose again. There is such joy in Easter. Our faith and our hope rests on today, and the resurrection is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that. If Jesus didn't rise again, then our faith is in vain. You know, so many people, they'll look at the Christian faith and they'll say it's not true because of this or that, or they'll challenge this part or that part. You got to look at the resurrection. That is the key. That is the point. That is the thing that we stand on, that Jesus Christ rose again, and because he is alive, we will live. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? John chapter 20 is the story of the resurrection, or at least the story of Mary meeting the risen Christ. And verses 1 and 18, that's the passage we read, 1 to 18, but verses 1 and 18 are bookends for this passage. It really does start and finish it. And I want to kind of take a look at those two verses before we run through the passage and just see the beauty of this resurrection. But before I do, let's pray. Lord, there is no way, I don't think, that I can express the wonder of your resurrection. But Lord, I ask that through your power today, it would be proclaimed very clearly. I ask that you would speak powerfully in and through me and in our hearts as we look at the beauty of a risen Christ. Glorify yourself today. In your name, amen. Verse 1 says this: Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. This is the start of this passage, and as I said, it's a bookend. Why do you go to a tomb? You don't go to a tomb to see carving in the stone. You don't go to a tomb to see something beautiful. You don't go to a tomb to see a hole or a stone in front of a hole. You don't go to a tomb because you want to see many tombs. You go to a tomb to see someone who's died. You go to the tomb to see the dead. And that's exactly what Mary is doing. And in another passage, it talks about, and she's not alone here, this passage just points out Mary. But you see, they go to the tomb with spices. They're going to prepare the body. You see, Jesus was buried and just kind of put in the tomb quickly, and they were there in order to prepare the body. And I don't mean just to make be crass about this, but the body would stink in time, and they would put spices on it to keep the smell down. And that's what they were going there for. She was going there to see a dead man. You get that? That's why she went to the tomb. She went early in the morning while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She was going there to see someone who had died, to see a dead man. And then you jump to the end, to verse 18, and listen to what happens. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And if you stop there, you can think, okay, she saw what she went to see. She went to see a dead man, and she saw a dead man. I saw the Lord. But listen to the rest of the verse. "And that he had said these things to her." That is a risen man. That is an alive man. She went to see a dead man, and she saw a risen man. She went to see a dead man, and she saw someone who was alive. Do you get it? That is the story of the resurrection. She says, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen a living man." In verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon and Peter and the other disciple and the one whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. As I said, she's going to see a dead man. And if the dead man is not there, well, somebody's done something with him. You see, the thing about somebody who's died is they can't do anything. And so if he's gone, somebody else must have done it. They've taken the Lord. Do you hear that in her voice? Somebody else has taken our Lord from us. We don't know what to do. I don't know where he is. They've taken him away. He is thought to be incapable, and death is like that. We have no ability in death for anything. And in death, there is an inability to do the things of life. Without a resurrection, your place is in the tomb because there is no life. And she goes to tell the disciples this terrible news. And of course, the disciples hear this and they don't quite believe her. So they go running to the tomb, this horrific thing that our Lord has been buried. We put our faith in him, and this is depressing and discouraging. We put our faith in him, but then he died, and well, we want him at least honored in death. And they get to the tomb, and John gets there first. John's the younger disciple. He gets there first. He gets to the tomb, but he stops. And Peter comes, and you know, Peter was that guy who would charge in. That's the way Peter was. Gets to the tomb, and he just goes right in. And he sees the tomb is empty. No one's there. There's just the cloths lying there. And John turns around, and then he ends up going in. Stooping in to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. This is John. Then Simon Peter came following him, went in the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. You see, they didn't understand what God was up to. And when we don't understand what God is up to, we miss the beauty of it, and we miss the joy, and we miss the excitement. They didn't know what was going on. And then verse 10 is a shocker for me. It just says, then the disciples went back to their homes. You think, they followed this guy. They put their hope in him. He died. He was buried. He's staying in the tomb. And then suddenly his body is taken away. And you sit there and you say, what can we do? What do I do? And a lot of us are like that. We're people of action. And Peter certainly was. What can I do? And yet it says this. They went back to their homes. You know why? They had nothing they could do. Jesus' body was gone. What do? Where do we go? I don't know. We just go home. We go home. And verse 11 then says this, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look in the tomb." She's overcome by this grief and despair, and why else would she? What else would she be overcome? Again, I mentioned about how they had put their hope in him. And imagine this, putting your hope in Jesus and following him and thinking, this is our Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. And then he dies. And you're thinking to yourself, he could have stopped it. This is the guy who commanded the waves. This is the guy who took a few loaves of bread and some fish and fed thousands of people. This is the guy who brought those who were dead to life. He could have stopped it, couldn't he have? God was with him. Why didn't God step in and intervene? And you come to the point, and then suddenly you're just rolling with things. Well, he's dead. Well, I'll take care of the body. I'll prepare it. And then you come to the point, even the body's gone. And she just collapses. She stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, to look in the tomb.
And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And here starts Mary's spiritual encounter. She starts a spiritual encounter that starts with angels and then moves on to Jesus, but she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand it. And I want to say this about Mary. She is blind to what is going on at this point. She can't see it. She might as well have no sight at all. And I'm going to take it a step further to say that she is dead in her understanding. That's the point she's at right now. She is dead in her understanding. She can't see what's going on. And they said to her, the angel said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And there's a great question, because for us, it's obvious. But for the angels, it's like, don't you get it? Don't you understand? He told you this would happen, and he told you he would rise again. Don't you understand? Of course she doesn't, because she's blind. She's dead in her understanding. And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She doesn't seem to recognize a spiritual encounter has just taken place, and it's because she is blind, because she is dead in her understanding, and because she is stuck on a dead Jesus. There is no hope in a dead Jesus. Do you realize that? I remember hearing years ago about this man who was listening to a radio, and a radio preacher, and this man said something, and this is a horrible thing to say. He said, "You know, it wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter to me if Jesus did rise from the dead or not. That he died for me was enough." No, it's not enough. It's not at all enough. If Jesus just died, there's no hope. Jesus rose again. He is alive. And because he rose from the dead, we will as well. We have hope. There is no hope in a dead Jesus. And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But remember, she's blind. Remember, she's dead in her understanding. She did not know that it was Jesus. And people have talked about, well, does this mean it's because he was so beaten from the crucifixion? Or is it because he was so changed at this point? You know, my take on it is that it's because she was spiritually blind. She didn't get it. She couldn't understand and she couldn't recognize him. And then we come to verse 16. Let me tell you about verse 16 before we read it. Verse 16 is the verse in this passage. If you were going to memorize any verse in this passage, verse 16 is it, because the whole passage pivots on this verse. This is it. This is the key verse in the passage. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Mary." This is the point. This is the place where it changed. He calls to her, and you know what happens? She sees. The woman who was blind has suddenly received sight. The woman who was dead in her understanding is now alive in her understanding. She gets it. She understands. She doesn't understand everything. She gets it. He opened her eyes. He gave her sight. He brought her from death and being stuck on death to life. He gave sight to the blind, to life. She cries out, "Teacher." I remember there's another passage in the Gospels where a number of people leave Jesus. And he says to the disciples, "Are you going to leave me as well?" And they said, "Where will we go? You have the words of life." Teacher, you have the words of life. Teacher, you are the life. You are the one we cling to. And Jesus, in his life, brings us into a living relationship. Take a look at after this in verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them," and listen to this. This is the statement of relationship. He said, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Do you get that? I am ascending. I am going up to my Father. And up until this point, he would call him my Father. But he says, "I'm going to my Father and your Father." He has brought us into relationship, that we have that relationship with God the Father, the good, good Father. "And I am going to my God and to your God." He has brought us into relationship with him through his life. Without his life, we have no life.
but with his life we have everything.
Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. We no longer seek the dead, but we seek the living. And I think this is why the death of a saint, the death of someone who loves Jesus Christ and knows Christ as their Lord and Savior, is not as sad, and we do not grieve, as the Bible says, as those who have no hope. Because of this, because we have life in Jesus Christ, we seek the living, and those who have died in Christ and gone on before us, we will meet them again, and we will stand shoulder to shoulder with them, more alive than we have ever been, because of Jesus Christ. You know, this statement, verse 16, is beautiful, and it is wonderful, and as I said, it is the pivoting voice, because Christ calls out Mary, and she says, Teacher, Mary. Teacher, you get that? He calls out to her like that. Do you understand, though, that Mary one day died? But Christ called to her again and said, Mary, and her eyes were open. She came to life. She said, Teacher, and there is one day where there is will be the resurrection. You see, when we die, we go to be with Christ if we know him. But there will be a day when we are given a new body and we enter into eternity together with Christ. We call that the resurrection. And it is the day where he cries out again, Mary. And we say, Teacher. I think this is, it brings it into perspective when we think of our dear sister Joyce. Many years ago, he cried out, Joyce, and opened her eyes, and she cried out, Teacher. She saw him, she understood him, she knew him, she entered into that relationship with him. And then yesterday, Jesus cried out, Joyce. And she cried out, Teacher. And she went to be with him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In Jesus Christ, we have life. And he cries out, Sean, and opens my eyes to see him. And there will be a day, I don't know when it is, where he cries out again, Sean, and I will cry out, Teacher! And I will go to be with him. And then there is a day where he cries out, Mary, Joyce, Sean, Bob, Betty, Elizabeth. He cries out these names, and we will enter into eternity with him alive. Because Jesus rose from the dead. Mary went to find a dead man, but she found a living man. And we go through life and we live with the effects of sin, where we struggle, we fall, and our bodies fall apart and they die because of sin. But there is a day where he cries out to us by name, and we receive eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Our hope is based on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alive from the dead. And if you're here today and you have never come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never entered into that new life, you've never heard him cry out your name and your eyes been opened, I invite you to turn to him today. Turn to the one that Mary thought was the gardener and find the one who is the risen Lord and the Savior. And if you're not sure about that, I encourage you to come speak to me or someone here who knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is nothing more important in all of eternity than what goes on between you and Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we hear your voice crying out, Mary. And we cry out, Teacher. We cry out, Risen Lord. We cry out, Master. We cry out, Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, because of Easter, we can live for all of eternity with you. A life that is far greater than this. And I think about what your word says, that the things we experience here are light and momentary trials. They are nothing compared to the wonder of eternity. And we thank you for that. And I ask you, Lord, for our hearts. Please impress that on us today. And Lord, if there are any here who don't know you, I ask that you would draw them into a relationship with you. Save them today, this moment. I pray that they would hear you cry out their name and they would turn to you and cry out, Teacher, and know you as you are. In your precious name, amen.